from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Ursula, so I thought that long weekends, I thought three-day weekends, you're supposed to come back fresh. Why in the world at this morning, Tuesday, when I woke up and opened my eyes, I said, ooh-wee, I am really tired. It feels like we're more tired after a three-day weekend than a regular weekend.
But what did you do? You said you weren't going to work.
I didn't work, but what I think I did is I did too much running around.
Okay, you played too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so do you think that's what happens on three-day weekends? People are like,
probably.
Okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this.
People are going camping, and then somewhere in the middle of that camping, they're saying, like, who said this was supposed to be fun?
Not many of us going camping, though.
Okay, that was meant for Chef.
Not many of us going camping. But good morning, what's going on the show today?
Good morning.
Yeah.
The state's new capital gains tax is bringing in way more money than anyone expected. We're going to get into that after Heather's newscast, and we do have a very packed show for you. As always, we invite you to join us on our state roofing text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO.
All right, Ursa's top news stories of the day brought to you by Way, Scar 40, Susu in Auburn.
A convicted killer is among the four escapees from Echo Glen Juvenile Detention Center who were captured this morning near Vancouver, Washington. Early on Sunday, there were seven inmates who got out of that facility in Snoqualmie after allegedly assaulting a staff member, stealing her car keys, and then taking off in her SUV. This was the third escape from that very detention center in just the past year and a half. And a woman who lives nearby tells Cairo 7 TV,
"It happens more often than we would like, unfortunately."
Pretty quickly, three of those seven were recaptured over the weekend in Burien. That is about 30 miles from the detention center. And I was just trying to get more information about this, but it feels like deja vu, didn't we? Just go through this and then it happens again. But there were supposed to be some major security upgrades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there still hasn't been. We know about that. This continues to keep happening because there's really no punishment for it. So just imagine that every time you go in to take that test, you're in school, you take the test, and you're like, okay, little Tommy, little Nicole, you're going to sit down and take the test, right? But if you get caught cheating, don't worry about it. There's really no penalty. So for an example, I just want to make sure I'm right. If someone gets caught and they run away from Echo Glen, from this place, what is the penalty? Do they add more years to your sentence? Like, if you're getting out at 25, you're still getting out at 25, right?
Yeah. So I just asked the spokesman for the King County Prosecutor's Office. I literally just got off the phone few minutes ago.
What'd they say?
And so by state law, in this particular case, they would probably be facing more charges. But under state law, they can only be charged as juveniles. So, again, it's not going to necessarily make it that much more difficult, which I want to see some changes, but that would require state law changes first. But I want to ask you, because you have always been a proponent of...
Oh, you'll put my business in the street?
Yeah, yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know, remember how you were, when we would get into debates about whether you should charge someone under the age of 18 as an adult?
Right.
And I have always said yes, but I know that you've had a change of heart.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you right now, this story and this case is exactly why. I mean, one of them is a convicted killer.
Mm-hmm. How big is the fence around Echo Glen?
Oh, no.
The fence is big, right? I'm sure the fence
is
huge.
There is no fence.
How are they... Wait, there's no fence?
Okay, wait.
That's like putting your dog out in the backyard and little Roscoe don't run away, but you have no fence.
Well, you would think that after a bunch of escapes, you would think, okay, well, at least let's try the fence. Right? But let's look at the history of Echo Glen.
Let's hit it.
Within 6 months of it opening, all the way back in 1967, within 6 months, a teen girl escaped. So it's not like this is unusual. In 1983, there were 40 escapes that year alone. So at that time, okay, again, 1983, the year I graduated from high school, the year Chef was born, they were demanding a fence be built around Echo Glen. And guess what?
I ain't the best at math, so that's 40 years later.
Yeah, uh-huh.
There's still not a fence?
There's no fence. Huh. Yeah, that hasn't been built. It's only going to happen now. The state legislature finally approved $4.5 million to put up a fence. It's supposedly going to be done in July.
So
but again, So this big breakout that happened on Sunday, doesn't it sound familiar? Do you remember last January when five teens escaped, including one, again, with a murder conviction? Mm-hmm. They strong-armed several staff members, stole a car. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, at the time, there were promises made about major security changes coming to the facility.
Wow.
And again, we're just talking about just now coming around to build a fence.
So they caught them all?
Yes, they've all been caught. Mm. They're not going to face much more because, again, by state law, they can't because they're going to be charged as juveniles. Mm. But I hope to goodness that they do face additional charges. Yeah. But we cannot wait decades again before something finally happens because this is going to be just repeating over and over again. And these kids are dangerous.
I'm sure. I mean, I'm sure some are. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so as long as we're talking about crime, police are still trying to track down burglars who used kayaks and wetsuits to steal from a home in Yarrow Point. Clyde Hill police say the suspects got into this home through a back glass door, stole about $20,000 from an unsecured safe, and then escaped on kayaks and apparently we're heading toward Kirkland. King 5 News spoke with neighbors who were shocked.
Nothing really happens here.
It's not something I would expect from this area. This seems like some sort of like Mission Impossible type thing.
That's crazy.
Hard to believe that someone would target a house like that.
So shocking that people would do such a thing.
You don't see that every day. It's like a full-on heist, basically.
Okay, gee, what, you know what's also unusual? I know.
What?
What's also unusual? This is serious. The residents were home at the time of the burglary. So police have been able to release video of the suspects, and you can see again, they have wetsuits, but you can see their eyes, and they're asking anyone with information to call them.
All right. Right now, I'm going to put on my criminal profiler hat, G. Scott, the criminal profiler, and all I can do right now, ladies and gentlemen, is tell you who it wasn't. And who it wasn't was... It wasn't Tyrone, because you know Tyrone is not going to be coming up in Yarrow Bay in a wetsuit, in a kayak, to come and try in broad daylight with people there. So that's who it wasn't. Now, who do I think it is? We can turn that down now. Who do I think it is? I think, number one.
Okay, again, just to be clear, though.
This is what I think.
Okay, yeah, this is there's no proof.
It's a Gian Ursa show. It's an opinion show. These aren't facts. This is an opinion.
Okay.
I think it's an inside job, number one. Like, who knows that there's going to be $20,000 in a safe?
An unsecured safe.
In broad daylight, right? So it is somebody. I also think it could be somebody who did not go back to college. You know what I mean? Somebody that did not go back to college during the break, like, yo, you know what? I'm tired of these folks are rich. No, I'm going to be serious for a second. This is really brazen. It's really different. You heard the people say, this never happens in this neighborhood, which, by the way, is always my favorite. It's always, this never happens. Listen, just so you guys know.
It's happening in every neighborhood now.
Stealing happens in every neighborhood. I don't know why y'all keep trying to pull this. It doesn't happen in this neighborhood. Yes, it does.
Yeah. Sadly, but in case the detectives are stumped, they're gonna look to you. Can we get some suggestions as to which direction we should go?
It ain't Tyrone. I'm gonna tell you right now. Tyrone did not get in a wetsuit and show up in a kayak broad daylight.
You are a goof. Okay, during the long Memorial Day weekend, sadly, Seattle police were busy responding to shootings all over Western Washington, including several local beaches. A 49-year-old man was shot to death near the boat ramp at Alki Beach on Sunday. A teen was shot during a party at Lincoln Park. Another person was shot and critically wounded at Magnuson Park. Gunshots were also reported at Golden Gardens over the weekend. And in White Center, three people are in critical condition now after a gunman opened fire at Roxbury Lanes and Casino on Saturday night. And I know I am overlooking some, but, you know, as we told you, every time, especially on a long holiday weekend, every time after a weekend, it's like, oh my gosh, what has happened?
Well, I mean, we're just seeing a lot of things happen during from post-pandemic, right? So whether it is gun violence, whether it is assault, whether it is online fighting, we are seeing a real increase in escalations of just flat out violence. You know, there's a lot of people that go from 0 to 100. It's the part that probably stumps me the most. That's a little different, right? Like, look, my grandma used to say, there's nothing new under the sun. Here's what I believe is new. Yo, y'all shooting at beaches? That wasn't really a popular thing. Like, the beach was kind of, you know, it was kind of like, that's the safe zone. That's the safe place. It's women, kids, families hanging out. You really, and you've been doing this for longer than me, yeah, for 37 years. Not at the beach.
See, and I disagree because, yeah, we've been covering Golden Gardens, Alki Beach, and sadly.
Wait, you disagree that beaches used to be?
Beaches are, because there's a lot of people with time on their hands.
But it used to be.
Yeah. But in more recent years, I will say, especially, and that's why, and I agree with the Seattle Parks Department closing down Golden Gardens and Alki Beach, you know, an hour and a half earlier.
I do too.
And even though some of these will happen in broad daylight. But, I mean, it was all the beaches practically. Magnuson Park, Lincoln Park. You know, so we're talking about a lot of people in an area where it takes nothing anymore for someone to pull out a gun and start shooting. It's so bad, though, that did you see this? Chef brought this up, that there is a travel advisory now. So if someone from Canada is wanting to come to the United States, there's a travel advisory telling Canadians to, this is a quote, familiarize yourself on how to respond to an active shooter situation when you visit the U.S. in light of the mass shooting trend looming over the country. Their government is actually telling people, be ready in case of a mass shooting. And here, this advisory, which was updated on May 19th, says the rate of firearm possession in the United States is high. Incidents of mass shootings occur, resulting most often in casualties. Although tourists are rarely involved, there is a risk of being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah.
How sad is that?
I mean, the United States, we tell people advisories when it's, you know, when it's time, like, hey, going down to Cancun, there's been an uptick in cases.
But do you expect the U.S. to be that country that you're saying, hey, watch out?
Why wouldn't it be?
That's how times have changed.
Yeah. This is the United States of America, the place where we celebrate alcohol consumption and use, right? This is where we are. This is the type of world we're in.
Okay. Remember the big brouhaha in Redmond over salaries for city council members?
Mm-hmm. A lot of people get mad at me.
There's an update.
What happened?
Okay, this happened on Friday afternoon. Uh-huh. Mayor Angela Burney announced that she was disbanding the commission that proposed raising those salaries from $19,000 for the part-time position to $115,000 a year. The mayor says the commission showed their inability to follow the required guidelines and processes. She claims that they were holding special meetings with short notice to staff and the community. So one of the commission members, though, Matt Cantor, spoke with the Seattle Times and said he is frustrated by the mayor's actions, and he described city leadership as, quote, anti-working class for not allowing the commission to continue debating on increasing pay.
So, you taught me, you've been in this news game a long time, mm-hmm. Ursula. So you taught me the game, right? You taught me that when somebody is breaking news on a Friday afternoon, right? That's, you got to kind of put your eye down a little bit.
Yeah. The reason they do that is they hope that you don't see it.
Right. So that was Friday afternoon. Okay. So basically, I just want to make sure we got this straight. I know everybody was against me when I said, hey, I'm all for them making $115,000. And you're like, no, G. So, but I will say, I don't think that you guys are all for them continuing to stay at $19,000 a year, which at this current pace.
That part we agreed with.
Yeah. So it's staying at the $19,000 a year.
Well, we're going to get an update today. So the Seattle Times story said, and they were quoting someone from the city who said, okay, there'll be an update today. Because this would be the first time that they get a chance to, after the holiday weekend, to readdress this. But I don't disagree with the mayor still. It looks bad because she did it on a Friday afternoon, but she was the one who appointed this commission, I think, earlier this year. And if it's true that they were just kind of going rogue and not informing the community and just not doing the analyses that is required before you make this big, huge jump, then I agree. But
I disagree.
If I'm living in Redmond, though, I'm asking a lot more questions.
I'm disagreeing with the mayor, though, right? Like, okay, be the bigger person in the room. You don't. You could come back and say, hey, okay, yeah. 115,000, yeah. Okay, let's re-talk about this. You don't have to come in and be like, okay, because of that ask or that suggestion, yeah. I'm just going to cut off everything.
Yeah.
That ain't cool.
Did you say they handled it better?
That commission said it was anti-working class. Yes. That is a joke. You know what's real anti-working class? Thinking that $115,000 is proper compensation for a part-time job. Clearly, these people have no idea what working-class people make. Well, that makes sense. 115 part-time,
yeah, I think,
sure.
Just based on the comments that I saw after the story, you know I like to read the comments. Based on the comments, there's more going on in Redmond. So I would suggest you live in Redmond. You start digging around in there. Like, okay, who's on this commission? What other relationships do they have on this commission? Like, why 15,000 to 100, you know, to 115,000, excuse me, 17,000 to 115,000. Like, there's something's missing.
Oh, there's always something missing.
Yeah.
I mean, you do all that campaigning, raise all that money so that you can get a position making 19,000 a year. Like, think about that for a second. I'm not the best at math, but would you campaign and raise money to go work at Taco Bell? Because technically, you can make more at Taco Bell than the city council members are making at Redmond. Something ain't adding up.
Something's not. Okay, 19,000. I'm just throwing out these figures. Yeah, 19,000. I was wrong. 19,000 to 115,000. That just, something smells rotten there.
Yeah.
But anyway.
All right. Coming up next on the G and Ursula Show, turns out that the new capital gains tax brings in more money than people thought it would. We talk about that next. G and Ursula.
This is the G and Ursula Show. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Text us on our state roofing text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. So just how many really rich people actually live in Washington? It turns out a lot, even more than we ever imagined. And that is becoming evident because our state's newest tax is bringing in way more money than expected. The legislature, G, expected the capital gains tax to bring in about $248 million in its first year. But over the weekend, the Seattle Times reported that $849 million has been collected so far. And that's not even counting the revenue from thousands of wealthy taxpayers who filed for extensions. So we don't know how much more money will be coming in. But the first $500 million in revenue from the capital gains tax is supposed to go to school funding, with anything over that amount going to one-time school construction projects. And so experts are saying, yes, there are going to be new school buildings cropping up because of the money that is being generated from this tax.
I think that this is a good thing. And I'm trying to understand how this could be a bad thing. We're talking about 7% on stocks and bonds of $250,000 or more. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of people that walk around that are in that financial position. But I find myself arguing, going back and forth with people that aren't. And the part that I don't understand is why.
Yeah.
We are constantly talking about a deficit. You guys want me to stop bringing an income tax. And a lot of sometimes you're saying that this is essentially an income tax. Can we meet in the middle on this someday? And I do believe that the state of Washington will get back on track with what they need. I know it's in the laws and I know the Supreme Court and all that stuff. But constantly we are talking about all of these different taxes. But the truth is, if we're not going to have an income tax here, then the people that are really well off, I'm talking about the top 2% in this state, I think it is fair that they should pay more and be taxed on those things.
Well, so let's go through some of the arguments, because actually Danny Westnate did a really good job breaking this down in the Seattle Times with his column. But this has been a long time coming. So there have been several attempts, like how do you tax the rich? And there has been a lot of pushback, as you said, and a lot of times it's not from the rich. It's not generally from the wealthy. It's just other people who bring up arguments like, well, that's just going to be people are just going to find a way around it. Right. I mean, I think that was Representative Mark Clicker, Republican from Walla Walla, just last month said, well, many people and employers subject to the tax can simply avoid paying it by not selling their assets. Well, that's not what happened. I mean, it's generating three times more than what they even predicted.
Mm-hmm.
So people aren't doing that. He says that means the tax won't raise its projected revenue. No, it won't raise its projected revenue. It's way beyond what anyone projected.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the first thing. The other said it was it's going to discourage investment in our state. Are we seeing that? Are billionaires leaving in droves?
Rich people will leave?
No.
That was the other argument?
Exactly. Are they leaving?
Like,
no.
So when we are, when everyone is discussing, I get it. There's talking points that you hear someone say this, and so you use these talking points, and you say things like, just so you know, all the rich people are leaving Washington. No, they're not. They're not going anywhere. Let me repeat. A lot of friends that I have absolutely love the fact that there is no income tax here.
Yeah.
This is a beautiful state to be. And oh, by the way, they don't care nothing about the interest rates because they can go and they can buy properties and they don't care about some of those things. They can buy them in cash.
Yeah.
And when they buy these things in cash, guess who has to rent them? We do. We have to rent these places. So again,
for a jacked up price.
I just real simple, this idea that rich people are leaving Washington is not true.
It's not true. And the one really rich person who said it's just a bunch of BS is Nick Hanauer. So apparently, he's a venture capitalist. He was an early investor in Amazon, and he has been arguing, unlike many others, he has been arguing for many, many years that, hey, the rich can actually pay more and we're not going to be leaving. And so he pointed out if he had a $1 million windfall in stock profits, he would owe the state $52,000. And he says, that's a pretty measly sum to super rich folks like me.
you know what the average
honest.
Is? Yeah. So 1,200 people have paid this tax, an average of like $707,000 each. You know how much stock they had to sell on average to generate that revenue?
What?
$10 million each in 1 year. But don't worry, this is coming for you. This will trickle down to you. If it can happen to these 3,700 people total in this state that have to file taxes and pay 7%, it is going to happen to you. Just wait. Just wait.
Well, okay, so here's another part that comes up, right? There's a lot of folks that believe this is total mismanagement of the dollars that come in. Now, let me address something. Do I think sometimes that government can, if you will, mismanage funds?
Oh, heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. No. But what I'm trying to show you is that both things can be true. I do think sometimes government can mismanage, but I also believe, based on the discussions that we've had with professionals, that there are real shortfalls in budgets in the state of Washington post-pandemic and what's going on. Let's go to some of these school districts. You can't tell me that they are in the red with money because of mismanagement. There's actual funds that these school districts do not have.
No, if you just stopped paying the 10 administrators who make $200,000 a year, if you do the math, you can easily build a $100 million new school every single year.
Okay, you're funny. Okay, and I'm not, and both things can be true. There can be serious mismanagement.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there is.
Mm-hmm.
But in this particular case, I think all the naysayers and all the people who are freaking out about this and how it was going to have a negative impact, at least for right now, it does not seem to be the case.
All right. Good stuff, Ursula. Hey, coming up next on the Gene Ursula Show, we need to talk. And what we need to talk about is this. Adults across the country right now are letting AI do their homework. And we're going to show you a profession that just got caught slipping. We'll do that next. Gene Ursula. just wait until you find out the county that declined so many felony cases last year. Ursula's going to bring that up at 10 o'clock. But right now, we need to talk. What can happen when adults use AI to do their homework? I'm quite sure that the same adults will tell kids, don't let AI do your homework. Well, a New York judge now has to decide what to do with an attorney who used ChatGPT to prepare his legal arguments for a client suing an airline. Attorney Stephen A. Schwartz was suing Avianca Airlines on behalf of a client who said he was injured by a beverage cart. When the airline tried to get the case tossed, Mr. Schwartz filed a 10-page brief that cited more than half a dozen relevant court cases as precedent. Only one problem. None of the cases cited exists. ChatGPT made them up. Mr. Schwartz is now throwing himself at the mercy of the court, saying he did not know how ChatGPT worked. And when he asked ChatGPT, are the cases, if they were real, it said that they were. Mr. Schwartz has been an attorney for over 3 decades. Ursula, does an attorney over 30 years know better?
Yes. Not only does he know better, but he should do better given how much they charge in those billable hours for a client who is expecting to have some kind of decent chance of winning in a case. This is pathetic. But I actually found a little silver lining in this story.
Okay.
Because it shows the limitations of ChatGPT for anyone who says, you know, this is going to be taking over your job. No, actually, no, it's not.
I disagree with you.
No. Same.
I totally disagree with you. Okay. No.
Okay, but look what happened, though, when this attorney asked the chatbot again, you know, is this a real case, like you brought up? ChatGPT said, I apologize for the confusion earlier. This is the reply from ChatGPT. Upon double checking, I found the case Varghese versus China Southern Airlines does indeed exist and can be found on legal research databases such as blah, 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 LexisNexis, blah, blah, blah. I apologize for any inconvenience. That case does not exist.
Okay.
It requires a human to actually verify that this case does not exist.
Today, shame on that attorney that did not look it over. I was talking to my daughter about this, who says that she has paralegals that do stuff for her, and she makes sure to go and check over things and make sure some of the cases cited are relevant. And in this case, ChatGPT didn't get it right today. But that's today.
Yeah.
ChatGPT in 2025, at the rate that it's going, will start getting this right. Example, if I want a news story and Andrew Lanier is in the news. Oh, is he? Let me just type Lanier. Or Andrew Lanier, and bam, Google's going to give me all I want. Google at one point in time wasn't as fast as it is now. I'm just trying to show you how ChatGPT will be taking jobs, y'all.
Yeah. I'm sure it will. But again, it shows that there are limitations. There's certainly limitations right now. And even when you Google and you Google Andrew Lanier, a.k.a. Chef.
Thanks for that. Everyone's doing that right now. Great. Hide my mugshot, Google.
Yeah. There'll still be mistakes, and there'll still be things that you need to verify and double check, because what if there are several of them? Or, you know, wrong one, different birth date, et cetera, et cetera. So there still needs to be human intervention.
I own a private practice. Let's just say I own a private practice. I have G. Scott LLC. I'm the lawyer, by the way. Don't hire me, because you're going to be in trouble. Now, but I do. So I have a choice. I can hire someone, and we talk about income,
right?
Here in Seattle, I'm going to need to pay this person working in my office at least $75,000 a year, because I want this person to do a good job. I can A, do that, or even though all the work they do, I'm still going to go and check their work. Or I can hire ChatGPT to do it and go and check that work. Which one is people going to do?
This is absolutely going to explode because this is the one case where somebody's got caught. I guarantee you there are at least 1,000 other cases where someone was not suing, I don't know, an international airline who had a cadre of attorneys to go and dig through the opposing attorney's legal brief and check it. I mean, one area you're going to see this pop up a lot in is in small claims court where you do not actually need an attorney who is a member of the bar to stand up there and make your case for you. And the idea that this isn't going to take folks' jobs. What could the first iPhone do?
Yeah.
Compared to what it can do it's today.
True. Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt it's going to take jobs. I'm just saying I see an argument for why you would still want a human involved.
Ursula, keep the argument up.
Yeah.
No, seriously. Like, I think that we need to keep the argument as long as possible. But just real quick on the ChatGPT and those listening to the show, it is May 30th, I think, 2023. Mm-hmm. When did we start talking ChatGPT?
Probably February or March.
Yep, like March.
Yeah.
Just March of 2023. Where do you think we're going to be at in March 2024?
Yeah.
They can't do your job, though, Ursula.
There. Oh, they can't, I'm sure they could.
They can't give folks Ursula's top news stories of the day. Can't do that. What'd you think, Chef? They can't do that, bro.
Are you kidding me?
Of course they can.
We're probably a year, maybe two at most, away from TV. You know the airport TV news? You just see a talking head up there reading the headlines?
Yeah.
Why couldn't you do that with AI?
Yeah, but Chet, the AI don't, they're going to be too perfect, right?
Okay. It is Tuesday. We're back from a great holiday. I hope you guys had great. I had a good time.
Oh, yeah.
That ain't true.
TV news personalities are known for being, like, completely human and relatable, aren't they?
You still have to. There's TV folks that listen to this show.
Well, you got to work with in concert.
I disagree with you. On top of that, you still have to have an input, right, to ChatGPT. You still need to input the information.
Yeah.
So who's inputting the information?
Yeah. You have writers on those shows, right? And you have producers. You don't need the talking head reading it.
Maybe you're
That's
right.
a teleprompter job.
Maybe for those who's been divorced a bunch of times, maybe you need to marry a robot. And you have a better successful marriage rate.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm getting out of here. I see Ursula's look on her face. Coming up next, find out what county here declined a whole bunch of felony cases last year. We do that next. G and Ursula.